by whom I had the one notes, in the Aboriginal voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Kingston, Ontario. And you know what?
What?
Sean, the call number is 101.9.
Oh, yeah?
Someone forgot that last week. It was really funny.
Did
had to look it wasn't up. Me. I had to look it up.
I was like, what is it?
You were on assignment, community assignment last week.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you're here tonight.
Well.
Because the computers all work.
Yeah, I come in the room and things start working.
And folks, this is exactly
it's
why
weird.
We
at
needed
home,
Sean here today.
Uh-huh. At home, I walk into the room and things immediately quit working.
Yeah. Well, let me do the opening here. Ani Nichki Wink, Doug Farquhar and Dishni Cause. Meanwhile, Sean's story. Es na minwa, and es shnabi na waywin. And here we go. Aboriginal Voices, it is really good to have you here. And our guest, Wendy, who's supervising.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
she's good at that.
She'll give us a tap on the head if we say or do anything wrong here. So we're okay.
I've received that tap on more than one occasion.
Yeah. Every time you walk in the room and the computer doesn't work.
Every time I walk in the room.
Well, anyway, tonight we're going to have a bit of new music from Twin Flames. And you've been talking a lot about this.
Oh, goodness sakes, you got the book.
Book.
All right, so you still haven't bought it. How long has it been? How long has it been? I said, Doug, you should buy this book.
I should buy the
maybe
book.
Throw a couple of bucks Jesse Wente's way.
I did buy a book.
He could use it.
Hang on.
And you just went to the library and got it.
I had to go back and get
Never
it.
Mind Wente.
No, I had to go back and get this one. I did buy a book. I paid for it. I carried it home. I opened it and read one page. And a friend of mine was looking at it after we were having coffee.
Oh, that's
and
easy.
Guess what?
That, you're just making stuff up now.
Nope. He's got it. So he's going to get it back to me. So
why would buy your own copy, friend of Douglas?
Because he's going to be able to talk to us later. Plus, he's going to be listening to what we say here.
There is a reciprocation.
Yes, yeah.
If you borrow my book,
then you have to come back and talk about it. That was the idea. It's part of our book club, right? Engage other people.
Our summer book club, which consists of one book.
No, we did. Michelle Good's book. We talked about that.
Well, you talked about it.
Okay.
I never read it. Mm. But I am on chapter 14.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah. Because part three is going to be talked about tonight. At least part of it. Yeah. Part three is chapter 12, 13, and 14.
I don't want to give anything away, but I'm not saying he's a horrible writer.
No, he's a good writer.
Because he's not. He's a very good writer.
Yeah.
And I read it. I would say almost cover to cover because I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm on 14 and I think there's 15 chapters I've read it. I had a good time reading it. But
what's the, but?
Well, there are points in there where for me, are we talking about it now? Or are we just,
we talk about the fact that we're going to talk about it later.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you would like to change the script.
No. We'll talk about it later. I do want to say, though, it is a very good book. I hope he writes more. I did look up to see if he's written anything else, and I don't think he has.
Oh, okay. So this one's called
I can look it up again.
Reconciled, so people can look it up and see.
Yeah, so I would like to see more.
Oh. Me too.
From him, maybe something more science fiction-y, as he has expressed interest earlier on in the book that, now we're talking about it again.
Oh, here we go.
You're crafty. You're a crafty interviewer, Douglas.
Go. Yeah, I'll sit back and listen. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about, well, there are two others, but in this hour, one of them is the fact that the Caldwell First Nation down southwestern Ontario. Yeah, no, you think we got to celebrate this because they on last weekend all they celebrated the actual bringing people to their new community.
I feel like I've heard about them like maybe in the mid to late 90s. And it was Lloyd Robertson.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how old.
how
long ago it was. It was Lloyd Robertson. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and the Caldwell First Nation, yada, yada. And that was it.
But I think it's really important to recognize the fact that the federal government not only set up a land claim and honored it, but they also are guiding and helping to guide the people to create their own community for living in. So that's what's happening. This is a location down around Leamington, Ontario, southwestern Ontario.
Okay.
It's right on the north shore of Lake Erie. Yep. And
yeah, I'll look it up.
It includes Point Pelee.
Oh, wait. Oh, does it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's
like they've maintained ownership now?
Along with the federal government.
So any kind of tourist money goes to them?
That is interesting. I'll have to check that out.
But there is Dougie Ford.
Yeah, there is something happening there. But the idea, let's just describe where this takes place. It is from Point Pelee all along the north shore of Lake Erie to the Detroit River. Mm-hmm. And coming up and coming back through, what's Essex area and Leamington.
Future home of Caldwell First Nation. Big sign.
Yeah, but...
it's not even a billboard sign. It's like a half the size of a billboard sign. Yeah, maybe a quarter.
Yeah, but they have a problem down that way. They have a lot of wind.
It's a 4x8 sign.
There you go.
That, landscape.
Oh, okay.
Landscape
stands.
Yeah, and it says future home of Caldwell First Nation. It makes my my funny bone tickled.
Uh huh. Well, that sign is now history. Because last weekend, what was the date? 17th of August, there was a big ceremony in their community, and they had powwow dancers and singers and a drum group there, and a big feast. And they had the opening and the celebration of their new community. And there's room for, I think, 38 homes that have been built. They are all energy, I forget what the term is, but lots of...
efficient?
There you go. And they also are built in a community, or we're building up the community, so there's going to be room for an arena, a sportsplex.
So 35 people... or homes, I guess.
Yeah.
And they get a sportsplex.
They're going to build their... Well, it's not built yet, but that'll be coming. They're going to have a band administration office. And
I would think that would be the first thing you'd do.
No, because they have a place in London, Ontario that they're using right now. So anyway, there are a lot of really good things there, yeah.
And so right in Point Pelee? Or
no, this is not right in Point Pelee.
It is. It's right there, Point Pelee. Where's the territory?
Their territory reaches from Point Pelee to, you have to kind of come out there.
Elmdale?
It includes that. And it
includes Elmdale too?
Yeah.
Oh, and Leamington.
Right.
And that's how you said
keep
that,
going.
Too.
The land claim goes
Wait, Doug. Holiday Harbor. That sounds nice.
Oh, there you go.
You been there?
No.
I'm surprised.
There's a place. That'll be one of our trips before we go and see these people.
Cherry Lane Estates. Side note, I have wanted to go to Point Pelee. Not because of the Caldwell First Nation, but because I think it's the southern, most southern tip of Canada.
That's right.
You know, this place people call Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it reaching inside the U.S. interior thing?
No.
It's the closest point.
Well, that's what's forcing that big line out into Lake Erie further.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What was the claim to fame?
It's a birding site. So many migratory birds go through there. It's got all kinds of sand, and it claimed an awful lot of ships in the 1800s.
Oh, that's nice.
So if you're a diver and you want to go and see things, that's where you might want to go. Now it is a park.
$9.
For what?
To get into Point Pelee.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's an hour or what.
No, that's for the day.
Per person. My gosh.
That's for the day, isn't it?
Should be the car. $9.
Well, the problem is if you go to stay overnight, it should cost you more. Well, campsites cost a fair bit in provincial and national parks now.
Mm-hmm.
But people go to them and they expect to have more facilities in those places. But anyway, the Caldwell Nation. We'll get down to the nitty gritty here.
Oh, Emma, you go ahead.
What?
No, you go. Go.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry I took it off of the subject there.
No, that's all right, because the supervisor had a chance to read it over. Does this pass? Oh, okay. Thumbs up on that. pretty good. Angela Duckworth. Well, wait a minute. I don't think she's the chief. Wendy?
Chief Duckworth to you. She's not?
Just saying.
Here, let me go over to their website. See who we are.
Anyway,
right here, Mary Duckworth.
Mary Duckworth. She's the chief, yeah.
That's Chief Mary Duckworth to you.
Thank you. So, really quickly, they're out of Windsor. They're the CBC News and Jennifer LaGrassa. She's the reporter who put this all together. And so I sent her a text and said, we'd like to have her come on our show and talk to us.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to be on? Did she agree?
No, not today, unless we do a phone call at between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. And I gather we're not.
No, we were told we couldn't.
No, she's not available today at all. But she did say, go to the website and take a look at it. And you could don't read all of it because she actually does. This is the report that went on air on CBC. But the Caldwell members say hope is what they have at this moment. And so you're looking at something that was the website, and it was this just came out, and they haven't updated that website.
Yeah, they have a Caldwell First Nation zero tolerance policy statement.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, they are Anishinaabe group, and their language is Anishinaabe Mu'in, and so they're actually trying to build a school even in their community, but they've got homes and they've got people coming in to live there
too,
and getting started.
Goodness
but a little bit of background on this, because I did do some research and digging into it. But from Jennifer's report, I noticed that she has something that's very interesting to me, maybe to you as well, because she interviewed Darlene Marshall. And Darlene talked about the land and her grandmother and where her grandmother was born, what is now her grandmother. Now, you just go back to your map there. Darlene's grandmother was born in what is now Pelee Island.
No way.
Yep. What is now the...
Weird, because it doesn't look like an island.
The Pelee Island National Park.
Yeah.
So there was a community in that area that goes back more than 100 years, because Darlene is not too young right now. She's younger than we are, but...
Ouch, Doug.
No. She's younger than I am. I don't know. She could be your age. I'm not sure. But still, you know, how old was her grandmother? I don't know. We never heard. But anyway, she said that her grandmother lived, that this is Darlene Marshall said this, that her grandmother lived on Pelee Island. They didn't call it that at that time. And they had the community had a village there.
They used to call it home.
Yeah, that's true. And they lived there for many years until the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, came in on horseback. Okay, so that does tell you how long ago it was, okay? And they asked the people to gather everything that they could carry, and the people were removed from their little village, all of them.
Vacate. We have designs to build us a park here.
They were, well, this was before they came to design that.
Before?
Their community and their homeland was taken away completely. And what she said...
For what reason? Does it give a reason?
No, this didn't, but later on I did some more research looking into the government papers. Oh, my goodness. Look out when you get into those.
Oh, goodness sakes.
But the memory that that Darlene Marshall had here about the traditional of the Anishinaabe Moen name of meaning first evening star woman, that's her grandmother's name, and she wanted to share her grandmother's thoughts and feelings at the time. And here, this is for you to look at. There is a photograph. This young person is Darlene's grandmother.
The young one?
Yeah.
The one standing.
The one sitting is her great-grandmother.
Yeah.
And Darlene is 62 years old. Darlene now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
And so they have a lot of memories, but the language, the traditions, the teachings, and the stories have been scattered all over.
Oh.
So they are not as well kept as, say, in a Mohawk community like Thayendanegea,
mm-hmm.
where the language is still going and people trying to learn it. So they are going to be putting together with the community of people who began moving in last week, and we'll be moving in over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And there's a really good photograph for you to see. But if people want to see it, you can go to CBC and the website at CBC News and type in Caldwell First Nation is moving home. And it says after hundreds of years, 230 years, basically. But there's a picture of the new homes, architecturally built. And they have heat pumps in them. They have thermal windows so that they don't lose much heat. They're well insulated, they say. So they're set up for people to live in, and they're actually set up as, I don't know, there was an architect and a landscape architect, and so a lot of people were involved in getting this going, but they now have it. And it's basically set up on about 130 acres of land.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many hectares that is. They didn't give me that.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And more to come. And so that's why I wanted to share that with you.
So I looked up the history of that Point Pelee. Like, how did it get its name?
I want to know.
Is there like a thing? Doesn't say.
I don't know. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that in this. That's good.
All right. It says here, back in the day, Aboriginal people lived on Point Pelee. Probably these people.
Their ancestors.
These Caldwell people. Mm-hmm. And for many years before European colonization, dating back to at least 6,000 years.
There you go.
So there's like a bunch of archaeological stuff that's been found there on Point Pelee. It says here, the name was given to the area by Fathers Dollier and Gallinet.
There you go.
When they passed through the area, 1670.
1670.
Yeah, a while back.
That's when they stole it?
Well, no.
They gave it a name on the map.
They at least waited until the 1700s to take it away. In the late 1700s, British naval reserves logged the area's white pine for shipbuilding. So there must have been a bunch of it there.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Any trees?
There are some, but not, yeah, well.
Not as many as there used to be.
None of the old growth forest whatsoever, yeah.
Yeah, and back in 1790, the deputy Indian agent Alexander McKee negotiated a treaty with the Aboriginal communities that ceded a large tract of land, which included Point Pelee.
Just one sec.
The crown.
1790. Well, this doesn't tell you that 1790 was the time when there was a big push after the Treaty of Niagara.
Oh.
Right? Treaty of Niagara was what, 1764?
Wikipedia. You can't really.
Yeah. But when you get into this, there was no one from the people who were at Pelee Island or even the people who were using the land for their hunting, fishing, gathering of plants for getting through the winter or even for traversing the area. Mm-hmm. So they were not included in that treaty.
But they said the Caldwell First Nations Chippewa people who inhabited Point Pelee were not signatories of that treaty. However, the Crown did not realize this, of course. and their land was ceded nonetheless. Subsequently, they were forced off their land, and Point Pelee remains unceded Aboriginal land. They're going to have to update this. This has been publicly acknowledged by the Department of Indian and Northern Affairs, Canada. Also, on Point Pelee, they have the Dark Sky Preserve.
That's just what you need.
Me?
No, but the dark sky, because that means that whole area is not going to have much light getting away, like, you know, great big community lights, parking lots, football stadiums, that sort of thing. Anyway, that's, interesting. Now, you said 1790 was when they claimed, British claimed they had taken the land under treaty, but much of that area didn't have treaties set up or registered until into the 1800s. But anyway, that's 234 years ago today. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
And now they're back.
But the interesting thing is that the ancestors of these people who are there working on it today, the Duckworths and the Marshalls and the Johnsons, they're working on letters and discussions they've had that the people before them have had with the federal government over the treaty issues and so they've been fighting it for at least 152 years. to say that this is not right. You've taken it away from us. And it really happened when a lot of settlers started to come into that area in the 1800s. So. But there was this push from the Upper Canadian Compact. Okay, it wasn't called Canada at that time. It was just a province of Canada, Upper and Lower Canada. And the push was to do as many treaties as possible with as few people as possible so they can blast through and get areas, huge tracts of land that the British negotiators thought they could get just by telling people stories and saying we're going to give treaty rights to everybody. And it carried on when they went right out west. Treaty 3, Treaty 4, up to Treaty 9 and 11 and that sort of thing. So, yeah, so if people want to talk about what we're going to talk about later about Jesse's book, Reconciliation, do some research on that one little incident that happened last week. A powwow to recognize the first of the number of people from Caldwell First Nations who are going to be coming to live in their own little community. So let's celebrate what they've done. And you've also added to my knowledge today by bringing up that information. So give me another thought. Where am I going to go looking about this?
Looking for what?
More information on this issue.
On Dark Sky?
That'll do. That too. But no, and
they say it's there, but they don't give a location. A location.
Well, they don't want you to light it up.
They don't want you to show up.
No, it's got to be there somewhere.
Stub your toe.
I'll let you take. They've got to have a GPS location. Same as the one north of Napanee.
You'd almost think they did, but no.
No.
there's no way of.
No highways.
No, there's no way.
They don't tell you where it is.
Nope. What? They don't want you to come, Doug.
they don't want me to come. Wow.
They don't want anybody to come.
Oh, okay. All right. So shall we go to some music? You all set for that? I have, just for you, since you've been talking about dark skies and light and all that sort of thing, Porch Light, Twin Flames. You ready?
I leave the porch light on just in case. Open that door, swings, and I see your face. And I keep your photograph to this day, wishing and hoping that you're okay. And I'm missing you now. I'm never happy down my rave. Kids are on a till little rave. Was the same, love remains. All this hurts inside me. Call your name to this day. Wish you were home beside me. We've left your bedroom in its place. Posters and memories unerased.
Standing in the doorway, I hold back my tears. Seems just like yesterday, although it's been years. And I'm missing you now.
I never I'm Dachauna. All the same, love remains. All this hurts inside me. Call your name to this day. Wish you were home beside me. Light on just in case. Open that door, swings, and I see your face. And I I'll leave beside me. I leave the porch light on just in case. Open that door, swings, and I see your face. And I
gotta give it all you got.
I am CJ the DJ, the host of Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. I hope you can join me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Remember, put that in, Grad Chat, at 4 p.m. Tuesdays. Grad Chat.
the fun with Kingston Frontenac Public Library's summer reading programs, free and open to all ages, with the chance to win great prizes like Stanley tumblers, Lululemon bags, gift cards, and a Nintendo Switch. Make this summer one for the books. Register now at kfpl.beanstack.com.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
Well, Sean, that's kind of an interesting setup. Come in and volunteer, and we got all kinds of people around the station today. I love it.
It's nice to see, you know, a bunch of people in there in the other room.
That's true. You know, but I'm looking at what other things are happening. First of all, I have to tell you about those two songs. One was Respect the Gift, and that was by Adrian Sutherland. He was one of the co-founders of a group out of the far northern part of Ontario, James Bay area. And that was called Midnight Shine. But this song, Respect the Gift, was a solo by Adrian Sutherland. And before that, the song that you really liked, Twin Flames.
Oh, yeah?
The Porch Light. Yeah. Or just Porch Light.
Yeah, I like that one. Good job.
We're having fun with the music here today. And, you know, we have about 20 minutes left in this hour before we go to our book talk in the second hour. And it's interesting because Twin Flames, the folks... the publicist for Twin Flames wrote to say, Aboriginal Voices, would you like to have our new song before we put our CD out? They're going to put a CD out in September. But we got one song on here that we really want to share with people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And they weren't sure whether you or I would like to to listen to this song. So they also sent me their quote. Well, we'll call it a press release, but just it was a little paragraph. And Yahi, who is one of the two Twin Flames, Yahi's from the far north, northern Quebec, Inuk community, and he plays and writes music along with Chelsea June, and they were trying to figure out what they could do for another song. And as they started going over their history and memories, he remembered a song that as a kid, he would go to visit his grandmother. And in her house, in the kitchen and in a tiny living room. And he said, when I would go in there and my grandmother would have everybody there, she would put on a song that she loved and she sang along with it. And, it wasn't just once. It was every day she would put this song on when he came in. And he couldn't figure out why she did that, but it's still...
Maybe subliminally.
Possibly when you hear the song itself. But what Yahid and Chelsea June did was they thought about this song. Maybe they could do a cover of the song.
Ah.
So they did what I did. Little research. Who do we contact to do a cover of the song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my research shows that there are over 700 covers of the song, House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
700.
Over 700. And they're just covers.
How is it possible that this song could be recorded 700 times?
People wanted to do it, I guess. And people wanted to hear it. Like,
I think because it's such a nice melody, right?
I think so, yeah.
Now, did they use the same melody and sing the same words?
Oh.
Or do they, change it up?
Okay, well, that's where some of my research came in, really handy. Who was the first person to do House of the Rising Sun? And as Wendy pointed out just a few minutes ago, Clarence Ashley. Okay, that's the right. I got the right
name.
She
nodded. Yes.
Yes. Clarence Ashley was a singer in the southern U.S. part in Appalachia area. And he sang the song "House of the Rising Sun," and I'm gonna play
as the 1930s
in the 1933 when it was published, and it's interesting because when he did that, you asked about the same melody,
yeah,
and I'm going to ask you to listen to.
Okay, I'm going to listen.
I've got several versions of it. So we'll do Twin Flames, the one that Yanni and Chelsea June did as a cover. Listen to the words in it. And then I'll play Clarence Ashley's version from 1933. A little scratchy. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And then you and I'll come back and talk about
it. Sounds good.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Good. Just give me a second. You ready? Let's try it. Here we go. Twin Flames, House of the Rising Sun.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun. And it's been
house in New Orleans. They come.
version of the House of the Rising Sun.
That was a guy?
Yeah, Clarence Ashley writing about it, singing about it. Oh,
really?
Banjo and a little guitar. That's it. And before that,
I could have swore it was a lady.
Oh.
But, okay.
Well, it comes on one of those scratchy wax things.
Yeah, okay. I was listening to it thinking it was... I don't know. You said there was a female version.
Oh, Chelsea June and Yahi are twin flames. They did the first song.
No. There's like another
one.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
Yeah, well, that's who I thought it was.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, you're not listening.
Do you listen, Doug?
Do you pay attention? I was trying to figure it out.
Like I'm talking to you right to your face.
Yeah. Well, it's through glass, right?
No. Anyway, so that was a dude. Okay. And I guess the other question was, do they follow the same melody? And I would say yes.
Good.
I would say, yes, they do, but they've played with the melody a bit in order to make it their own.
Mm-hmm. Is the timing different? I'm not
quite. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because
The one that we're familiar with, we're not playing that one yet, are we?
We will.
Well, eventually. We don't want to play it now. We'll play that other woman.
No, we'll play the one that you say we are familiar with.
Why don't we play the woman?
No, we'll do hers after.
We'll do hers after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
Was that like by design?
It was.
Or because I was talking?
No. The first two, they were talking about the House of the Rising Sun.
Okay, yeah. And I guess the question came up as, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? I always had heard that it was... A place where a young man could go and purchase some affection.
Oh, there you go.
is that
good.
The way
I like
of saying
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yes.
The House of Ill Repute.
Yes. The oldest profession, they say.
Oh, yeah, so it goes
That's
way
what
back
I had heard.
Then, right?
That's what I had heard. That's how I always sort of kept the song in my mind. And earlier on, whenst I was trying to be a piano virtuoso, we played this song. It's a very, very...
is that right?
Yeah, it's a very basic version of it, but we did play it. And I was... always wondered. So who do you ask? You ask your mom, right?
There you go.
And that's what she said.
Perfect.
Although she said, you know, a place where she was, you know, kind about it. And, but you said, just not only like a few moments ago, that it was a place where somebody could gamble.
Mm.
But I mean, really, when you think about it, that's kind of the same thing.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, and then Wendy also found a piece about that it could have been linked to
a
women's prison.
A women's prison.
All right. Well, let's go to the one that
you... Did they have women's prisons back then?
Yes.
Like back in the day in the 19-whatevers?
Well, that's the question. When was it written?
Because when this one, yeah. Yeah, because I don't know. Did we say it was like the 1800s? Like a folk song.
A folk song.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. In the 17th century and the 16th century and
Yeah, did they have women's prisons?
No, not then.
I wouldn't think.
No. Let's go to 1964.
They have the dude prison, but I don't think they had the women's.
Where you say the one we know.
I would say the one that is popular in all of our minds is this one that's coming up.
Let's do that right now, and then we'll come back, talk briefly, and then I've got the one you want by Junebug.
Yeah, I want to hear that one. Like, it's cool to me that this song is older than I thought.
Listen to the words. Here we go.
Rise in sun. Where am I?
Falls, 1964, yeah, the version that you say you know.
Yeah, this is the one that I would know just by the guitar, bass guitar playing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Very bassy, deep, rhythmic. And that's whenever I hear the song, I say, okay, yeah, that's that Rising song, Sun song. And looking at the lyrics, maybe it is closer to what you're saying, but maybe not.
What did you get? It's a gambling
house. I've always thought of it as being a you don't go in there where the ladies sell their affections. And but looking at the lyrics, Rich
called in,
and he agrees with me that he thinks that yes, it was a place to purchase
ill repute.
Yeah, to purchase those things. But I'm looking at this now and looking at the lyrics, and it says here that. The kid, because it's a kid, right? Gambling. He was a gambler or a salesman. He could have been a salesman too. Because he says here, suitcase and a trunk.
Yeah. So that means he's traveling with a lot more than just a sack. Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
So he did say that, and there was a particular you could go to. There was places that this is Rich's story, that this building, this house that is by chance you could go to, the Rising Sun part, there was a yellow light. Illuminating the door.
Okay, so that's the old days when the light was over the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the Rising Sun. Part of the story.
But don't forget, people put things on their doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, don't want to get
like
into
the,
that.
Like the outhouse had a moon on
it. Yeah, a moon on it. The land of the rising.
So your door
moon.
Had a sun on it.
Yeah.
I won't be putting up a sun anymore.